And so this is a very casual impromptu to of some of our research and what we're finding with. So here's the one thing I want to stress to everyone is that what's happening with the labor market isn't just with cleaning. It's not just with lawn care. It's not just with Indeed. It's widespread. It's widespread. And we've done some deep dives. We've done some research. We've been looking at accounts. And, you know, and I'll say this a few times in the live, if you're a Woot Recruit customer, we do have a plan and we will reach out to you personally and let you know what the plan is and the plan of action and kind of get authorization from you. And I'll repeat this at the end. And we will have Eliani, our customer success manager, reach out and start to connect you. Me and Chris are in, I've always been involved with Woot Recruit Ops because I lead the team in Eliani. Chris is more on the tech side. And so we do have a plan of action. And so if you're a Woot Recruit customer, like I said, just put I in the chat and we will connect with you and let you know what that plan is. It's a very, very strategic plan. We need about another day or so, but we can still reach out and schedule those calls, that information. But I think what we've dove into and found, and I'll agree with a lot of people, at first we were like, oh, it's spring break.
Yeah.
But we always see a dip in spring break. We've been doing and recruiting for the cleaning and lawn care industry for years now, for 5 years. We've always seen a dip. And it's more than that right now.
Yeah.
It's more than that. And so we've pulled the information. We've pulled the data. So not every single person in this Facebook group is a Woot Recruit customer. And not every person in this Facebook group is a managed account within Woot Recruit. Because we sell just the software and we sell the software plus the account management.
Yeah. So some have self-managed.
Some have accounts. Self-managed yeah. accounts as well. So it's kind of like a mix in here. But then if you just drop, and we'll also send this through email as well. I'll have Marilyn, who used to be my assistant.
Yep.
Send this through email because we have some of our other companies that only communicate through email. We'll send that out as well. But here's the thing I want to stress. I've had Eliani, Chris has jumped back into ops. Mm-hmm. We've had Eliani reach out to your offices by phone. And I'm not going to lie, some of you guys are very hard to get a hold of by phone. And I understand it because you've created that block like, oh, I'm sorry, but Libby's not available. Can I take a message? Because I train my office to do that. But when these things are urgent, I started to give my ops team, mainly Chris, your cell phone numbers.
Yeah.
So that we can get answers fast because we're trying to move fast.
It's the express lane.
And we're in the express lane. We are not jacking around. Like, we have seen issues like, can we do this? What can we not do? And so I'm starting to share your cell phone numbers only with Chris, not with my entire team, because we need solutions fast. And like, we called a company and they're like, oh, we can meet with you 2 days from now at 10 o'clock. I'm like, no, if you're struggling, we need to meet right now. And so we're starting to PM you through social media, or I'm giving out your cell phone numbers just to Chris so we can get solutions faster.
And the main reason is not that any, again, for those that have people in the office, it's not that anybody is doing a poor job at communication. Here's the thing is because there's not a sense of urgency to the same degree that we want to get things fixed. And so for that handoff, what it ends up being is we'll take a message, we jot it down, half the day goes by, and then, oh, by the way, somebody reached out to you earlier today or somebody had a question. And then each reply takes about a half a day to connect on. By that point, if we had anything else that we need to clarify on, it might end up being 1 or 2 days before the first resolution happens. And then from there staggers the next countdown for the second resolution or the second point of clarification. And what we want to do here is speed up the outcome.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So again, if you're watching this again and you're a Woot Recruit customer and you would like to know what our plan is and be involved, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're not one of our Woot Recruit customers, I'm not going to tell you exactly what my plan is because Chris and I have spent has spent hours and hours and hours in researching and trying to figure out what's happening. And we want to share with everyone what's happening. And then we will do the work for you if you're our customer. We're going to share with everybody what's happening. Chris, what do we need to know? I already know the answer, but I want Chris to tell you. Like, what's kind of that parameter? What can we do and not do
yes.
to get you results?
Yes. So and I'm going to reframe it here because I want to make sure that I explicitly say it in the right way, is so this is something that I clearly try to ask in the most direct way possible so that there is no assumption. Number one is that, and we asked this in the iteration, is if we could solve the issue today, would you be open to us doing whatever is needed to make that happen within reason? Second point of clarification is, what are the things you are not willing to compromise on, even if they might improve the outcome?
Those are some strong questions. Like, as a business owner, can I say what I'm not willing to compromise on? So an example is, I'm just going to use this as an example. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing. Because, so we're in Oklahoma, and we never, like, well, I do get massages, but Chris never does. And so I bought Chris a massage. There's a massage school here in Hugo, and the massages are great, and they're cheap, and, like, compared to Florida, it's like a steal of a deal. But I told Chris, I bought him a massage, and my only compromise ever that another woman could touch him is because Sally, our masseuse, I paid her to do it. That's the only compromise. It's a joke, but it's not a joke. That's the only time I'll allow another woman to touch you is because I paid for it.
So there's clearly defined
and
lines.
Sally, and that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a joke, but it's not. But it's like, we have our hard compromises, and what are they not? And so if you allow us to do what we need to do, and so sometimes there's magic, there's manipulation, not manipulation like bad, like questions, restructuring them, different things we can do as far as automations and technology goes. But we need to know what those, like, what are you not willing to compromise on? Like, yeah. So for me, like, people that work for me, they have to be legal. They have to have papers because they have to be W-2 employees.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not willing to compromise on that.
Right.
But, like, a lot of other things I'm kind of willing to compromise on in a time of need.
Yeah. And so the reason why this is extremely important to define is because we've seen it before where there's a lot of subjectivity to anything. And when there's a time of desperation, time of need, the more that we have to ask and clarify on certain things one by one, as you heard, is the longer it delays the outcome, the output of results. And so this is all meant to really create extremely strict boundaries so that we know exactly how we can run and run fast and execute. And so basically what we're doing is when we do this and we ask this, we're basically trying to turn on execution mode, is the way we call it. And basically do everything that we can to the fastest degree, to the best ability, without hesitation.
Yeah. And so for our recruit customers, if Eliani reaches out to you, that's what she's going to capture.
Yeah.
Right? She's going to capture what are you not willing to compromise on? Like, what can we do and what can we not do? What is, like, the max budget you're willing to spend? Mm-hmm.
There's a number of different variables.
There's a number of questions because we need to be able to have flexibility in trying things, right? It's all about, it's all about, like, can I change the title to your job ad? Because maybe a certain title is trending better in this area versus that area.
And we've had issues with this before, and I'm not saying anything negative, but I'm just saying, like, these are the types of things that will slow down progress is if a non-negotiable is that we are not allowed to touch the title of your job post, because we've gotten yelled at before for changing a title in trying to work through a couple of these things without asking for explicit permission.
You know, and I told Chris, because someone was saying, I need results. And I told Chris, I said, just go in and edit the account. He's like, no, I can't, because I've gotten yelled at before about changing a title or changing not the pay, because we wouldn't do that, but changing certain things like the title when they didn't have flexibility on that. And I'm like, well, I'm the business, like, I'm the entrepreneur, like, the visionary type. And I'm like, I don't care. They're paying us for results. Let's get them results. And Chris is like, no, I can't do certain things until I get the okay from the account. So if you're a Root Recruit customer, a managed ad, you make sure you're answering your phone, answering your emails, letting your office know this is a priority. We need to get in touch with you. Because we need to know, can we change your job title? Because guess what? This title is trending down, but this one's trending up. And we could probably get you results faster, some more results. So, and again, I'm going to repeat this throughout the call. If you're a Root Recruit customer, and we will reach out to you because we're getting ready to talk about why this is happening. And this is not a Root Recruit issue. This is not a cleaning company issue. This is not a lawn care issue. This is a world issue.
Yes. And just to clarify, it is not a regional issue either. We've looked at stats across the entire U.S. because we base primarily in the U.S. And this is something that's trending across the entire U.S., not one specific region or area.
Yes. So someone said, I do ignore calls from Indeed all the time. Is that correct? Yeah. Indeed. Let's put Indeed to the side. We're going to put Indeed over here. And for years, I've wanted to create my own job board. So I probably have about 4 to 5 million applications who are people who applied for cleaning jobs. But here's the reality of what we're living in. There are not people looking for jobs right now. It doesn't matter if you're on Indeed, on ZipRecruiter, on Monster, on whatever. There are not. This is the extensive research that we've been going through. There are not people looking for jobs. So it doesn't necessarily matter the platform you're using. So in January, I did a live on job hugging, and this is how we can segue into this. Do you guys all know what job hugging is? Right? They're hugging, they're keeping their job. Why? And a lot of people started to see, I want to know, you know, if you started to see a downward trend in your volume, and I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're a customer or not a Root Recruit, if you're just, and here's the thing, I'm seeing posts everywhere, in every industry about there are no people looking right now. And so if you started to see a decline in February.
About mid-February.
And so we're going to break down what we saw and what is happening. And I will tell you, my 27-year-old son actually gave me a heads up about it. And I was like, I don't know. Like, he's 27. He does our social media marketing. He's like, Mom, all I do is spend time looking at social media. And I was like, you know, he kind of said, he's like, but I gave you a heads up that this was coming. And I said, no, you were talking about LinkedIn. I said, but I was just using LinkedIn as an example.
LinkedIn jobs.
LinkedIn jobs, not LinkedIn, but LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn recruiter, I think it's called.
Okay.
Right? Or LinkedIn jobs.
LinkedIn jobs, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but that won't affect cleaning technicians. I'm like, Billy, come on. He's like, I warned you this was coming. And so we started to pull some data. We started to pull some stats. And I'm going to kind of give it over to Chris. And in January of this year, I talked about job hugging. People were starting to keep their jobs. They were starting to be less likely to leave jobs. We saw our quit rate kind of slow down. But we're still growing because now we're in like spring season, which is like hiring mode. But then you also have that natural churn. Like, we just lost an employee today in our Oklahoma location because she needed more consistency in her schedule, right? Because we all know with home service, it's very up and down depending on if the customer cancels, reschedules, how do we fill their schedule. And that's typically when we lose people. It's not because our job is bad or because we pay people bad. And so, Chris, I'm going to give it over to Chris because he's done the majority of the research and he can probably break it down a little bit better.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, you know, because there's a couple of different pieces that kind of stack on top. And I want to give you at least the baseline of typically year over year. What is in this period, the reason why is because, and we talked about it the other day, typically what you have in this period, and it never lines up perfectly, but you're stacked up against different seasons, and this is regional, of spring break. Stack on top of that, depends on the week, you have the tax break season. And for those that are in entry-level jobs, or recruiting, typically you have somebody who's okay with the money that they have because they've now got an influx of money from the government as a payback.
I don't know about you, but I get no money from the government. If anything, I owe money to the government.
Right. And so for other, you know, for businesses, it might be more budget cost and savings. But for the entry-level employees, it's more of a, I'm not desperate to look for something right now. So it's not that they're, you know, throwing caution to the wind, but it's not as urgent as it was before. So typically it's spring break, it's tax season, it's the warm weather as well.
Then that's what we experienced in the past.
It's the first uptake of warm weather is typically what happens as well. And it kind of, depending on the week, it kind of stacks in. Same thing, you get your last rushes of the cold snap as well, which we kind of got thrown in there as well. But all of it didn't really line up perfectly with how drastic the drop was in the market. Typically, it's about the same as Christmas, but this one's actually hitting very low. And some of the feeling of performance in finding people is actually a lot lower. It's almost like, you know, when you go outside and it says it's 30 degrees outside, but it feels like 15.
I mean, we're looking at data that has nothing to do with WooRecruit.
Yeah.
It's other people sharing data. It's Indeed data. It has nothing to do with like WooRecruit or a third party or an ATS. And it is a dramatic drop.
Yeah. And so the charts might say it's 30 degrees. And I'm talking about this more so with employment, but it might say one thing, but it's going to feel much colder, much, much darker, let's say. So fast forward now is, you know, what is causing this instability right now? And I'm sure that a lot of you already have some thoughts and ideas. And a lot of it kind of stems from about mid-February. And I'm like, what's the correlation from mid-February and on to this progressive dip or this spiral downwards in activity? And so if you link it back there, what we saw was we started to have an influx or a wave of talk about AI this, AI that. And it started about the beginning of February loosely, but it wasn't really public or viral to the point of everybody obsessing over it until about mid-February. There was some published articles, and I think one post on X ended up getting about 8 to 8.5 million views.
85 or 8?
I'm sorry, you're right. 85, 80 to 85.
I want to say that right now. It got 85 million views, not 8.5, 85 million views.
Yes.
About the future of AI and jobs.
Yeah. And so this was the first...
Which is nuts.
It was the first instance of, I guess, the feeling of something's coming.
And so, again, my son, my 27-year-old son said today to me in the car, he's like, Mom, I warned you about this. And I'm like, but Billy, I hire cleaning technicians. How would this affect me hiring cleaning technicians? So, yeah. I mean, or not, no, I didn't say today in the car. It was the other day. And then I had him in the car again today. And he said, yeah, I told you about this. And I'm like, but it doesn't make sense. But as Chris was doing the research over the last few days, and it's starting to now make sense. And you wouldn't think that AI or some other things, so it's not just AI. We'll get into the other. There's a few other contributing factors. How would that affect me hiring cleaning technicians?
Yeah, because AI, more or less, kind of steps over the bridge right now between the systems ideation and the delivery of service. And so right now the AI covers that middle gap. But the actual entry level, the front line, the technicians are pretty safeguarded right now because AI is not taking that over right now, let's say.
Or it won't for a long time.
And it won't for a long time. But what we came about was, you look at anything else on social media and there's elements of virality, whether it's true or not, the fact that it's out there has it stuck in people's minds. Even if they don't believe it.
It's fear.
It creates fear. And so we saw that first that first notion in the beginning of February, we saw one of the first few moments of virality about mid-February. And then you had a lot more people kind of stacking into it later in the year. And it became a lot more widespread, not later in the year, but later in the month. It became a lot more widespread, a lot more articles, a lot more sharing. That's when you started to see people talking about it. You talking about TikTok, Facebook, X. And so that's where I think I'm looking at here. One more point of interest was at the beginning of March, which is, you know, it's only like, what, 3 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. It was all about mass validation and fear reinforcement. So what also stacked up there was, I forgot what it is. Basically, they had some reporting as well of unemployment rates spiking. And basically what it also did was it stacked fear on top of fear in a down market, because it's what happens with the media. And so I think right now is we're at a mismatch with the actual economy and how it's serving us right now and that uncertainty.
And so, I mean, I argued with Chris and my 27-year-old son of like, how can AI be scaring potential cleaning technicians
yeah.
or lawn care technicians or pest control technicians? How? We don't use AI for their job. But then when they started to kind of break it down, we started to look into it more. It wasn't that AI was taking their job. It's just that AI was creating. And we're going to get into other fear. So there's more fear being made, right? Like there's more fear happening. But this was just one layer to the other layers we're going to add. But the fear created that. So fear from social media created kind of that, like, I'm replaceable. Maybe I'm not going to leave my job. Maybe I'm going to keep the job I have. It created the job hugging that we talked about in January, that I'm going to stay here because I'm replaceable.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the future holds. So maybe I'm not going to look for a job. And because I said, my technicians in my company know what AI is. We use it all the time. They have access to it. But I'm talking about applicants looking for a job. If they're laborers, they don't understand what's happening in the world. They don't understand what's happening. They actually have the safest job in the world. But that's not what social media is saying. That's not what TikTok is saying. That's not what all these articles are saying. And most of our employees spend all their time on social media. They do. That's the reality. And there is a huge fear-based mindset happening right now. And so they're not looking for a job. They're keeping their current job.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and so adding to that as well, and I want to touch on a few points, but you know, again, it's not just one thing, it's not even two things, but you had a stacking and a spiraling, and what typically happens is that one thing kind of gets off the hinges and then it causes a kind of a domino effect. And so you had some virality around AI, you had some instability with unemployment rates and some other published reports.
So unemployment rates shot up, but not drastically.
No. But what I'm saying here, what I'm getting at here is that you also had things stacking against you, like what's now happening with the TSA, kind of that insurgency with them on strike, now in the news. And then you also had the gas prices that...
Yeah, gas prices and...
And so... All of that combined, and again, not one thing is the one sole reason, but it's the butterfly effect of, or the ripple effect of, it's stacking, and right now it just feels awkward.
It feels painful.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. From a business owner standpoint, it's painful. These are the things. So this is like COVID, but in reverse.
Yeah.
COVID didn't really, I mean, COVID was like more about, we couldn't deliver the service because no one wanted in. No one would let us in. But this is like the opposite. We can't hire employees to deliver the service. So it's like a whole nother fear-based mindset.
Which aligns with, and I'd love for you to dive into it now, which is the fear, is that COVID, it took effect with what's happening now, the fear of what happened.
Yeah.
Now we're approaching the fear of
what hasn't
the unknown,
happened.
What hasn't happened.
Which is scarier.
The fear of something that doesn't currently exist.
Yeah. And so it's scarier because if it doesn't exist yet, what's happening is it's made up in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And so when it's made up in your mind, you over-exaggerate it. Like you over think it, you over-dramatize, like, I don't know, I don't even know the right word, dramatize it.
Yeah.
And so we're dealing with spring, we're dealing with tax return season. Those were normal. We saw those dips normally, but because now we're dealing with AI, the Anthropic study came out. When did Anthropic study come out with the labor market? What was it, like February 15th?
Yeah, I don't remember. It was in February.
It was mid-February, Anthropic. But not that our like potential cleaning technicians would look at the Anthropic study. They don't have to, guys. They're watching the TikTok videos that are reviewing it.
Yeah.
They're watching the influencers talk about your jobs will become obsolete.
And what they shared was, and we shared it the other day, was different sectors of business, of employment, in how, to what degree AI would affect or impact those sectors.
So we had that come out like February 15th, mid-February. Then we had war, right? War. And we all know, I don't know how many of you guys, and I'm older than Chris, how many of us have lived through wars and what it does to your economy and to your labor market. I don't know why we didn't even think of that until we started to research. I mean, what war does to people and their mindset, and then the gas prices. And so what's happening right now is, yeah, there are more jobs on the market right now because it is spring and everybody's hiring. But I know for a fact, people are job hugging. They're keeping their jobs. They're not looking to leave. They don't want to leave because they are scared. So I want you just to think about your current sector, like your current group of employees. Are they on social media? Are they on TikTok? Do they watch the news? And if you can say yes to social media, yes to like TikTok, and yes to the news, then they're living in a fear-based mindset. And if your potential employees do the same thing, they're not looking for a job. They're just looking to survive.
Even if what's impacting the rest of the world has nothing to do with their sector, the fact that even if it says AI is taking white-collar jobs, but you have somebody who's boots on the ground doing the dirty work, there's still going to be this element of fear. Because it's happening, there's associations that happen. A person is losing their job. That's as basic as our neural connections can go.
I don't think they understand it. Like, they don't understand, like, that white collar's losing their job.
No.
And the difference between the two. I don't think they understand it. Because, again, I wanted to argue and push back with Chris or my 27-year-old son. And I'm like, how does that affect me hiring a cleaning technician for my cleaning company?
Yeah.
But it does. It couldn't. Maybe it's not the AI, but war, gas prices, the unstable economy, plus TikTok and Facebook and Instagram is saying everyone's going to lose their job to this thing called AI, but they have no idea what AI is. So maybe I'm going to keep my crummy job right now for the time being.
And that builds the herd mentality.
Yeah. And that builds the herd mentality. So again, I'll repeat this. I've already said it a few times. If you're a Woot Recruit customer, I want you to just drop I in the chat if you haven't already. We do have a plan. We have looked at certain things. We need about another 24 hours to deploy kind of our plan of action. But drop I in the chat. We will reach out to you. We will schedule a call with you. I will Facebook message you if we can't get a hold of you through your office. Some of you guys, I've been messaging through your cell phones because I have them in case we can't get a hold of you. Because I get it. Like my office, I'm not existent. Libby's not available because we get so many spam callers. But sometimes if we're doing things for you, we need access to you fast. So,
I was going to say that we are in execution mode right now. And what that means is that we're willing to go ahead and run with it and execute and do the things that we need. As long as we have the thumbs up, the green flag, that's good to go.
I'll tell you what. I have never felt more alive in my life. I it might be hard right now, and I agree. I'm with you guys because I'm with you guys, but I'm excited because I also have 4 to 5 million cleaning technician applications. Mm-hmm. Because I will create my own goddamn job board if we can't get it to work. but we also have other ideas to get these things moving. And innovation happens when your back is up against a wall, right? Innovation happens when during hard times. It's, what's that saying? Like, easy times create, what was that saying about men? Easy times create
easy women?
No, men. It's men. Easy times create like soft men and hard times create, I don't know. There's that saying. I'll have to look it up. But these hard times create real business owners. Like, all of the soft people, the people, like, they're going to go away. Because when the shit gets hard, you're going to see who comes through.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to see who, and I'm telling you what, I, as Woot Recruit owner and as a business owner, I'm not backing down. I'm like, F indeed. We have some other ideas and we're going to try them. And we just need to know if you're on board. Yes. Do whatever you need to do. Great. Because here's the thing. I have to do it too. That's the difference between our recruiting company and other recruiting companies, is I also own other locations. And I also know everybody here. So I have to, like, I am not going to let you guys down whatsoever. Because I have to answer to you, because the majority of you are my friends, or at least I hope you are, because I do call you my friends. But it creates innovation, right? It creates movers and shakers and people who are willing to disrupt. And I'm ready to disrupt, like, craziness. But my commitment to you guys in this group, and to everyone in this group, because not everyone in this group is a current customer, but my commitment to you guys is that we keep you informed.
Yeah.
That's my job. I want to keep you informed. I want to let you know what's going on. I want to let you know what we find. And we're here. We're in the trenches with you. Poor Chris had to go off site today to work because he had to focus.
I went and I didn't even have a car, but I was like, look, drop me off at the library.
I dropped him off at the library because Yaya has an ear infection and she was up all night crying. And so I dealt with Yaya. I took her to the doctor. I dropped Chris off at the library. So
electrician.
He could work. We had the electrician here in the building. Like, and we're not stopping. We're not giving up. Like, I am not going to let Indeed define us either as a cleaning company or as a recruiting company for the cleaning or lawn care or frontline labor industry. I'm not. Like I said, I have like 5 million applications that I've kind of just been sitting on and didn't know what I was going to do with. I didn't know what I was going to do with them. And everybody's like, please, Libby, create a solution. And I'm like, I have an idea, but, you know, haven't executed on it yet. And I'm kind of like, maybe now's the time. Maybe now's the time. So we have a plan of action. Again, if you're a recruit customer, whether you're managed or non-managed, I don't care. Just let us know. Because here's the thing, I'm rolling out a brand new platform, brand new. It is amazing. I have organized it on it. It's amazing. Like the notifications, the alerts, the things, but I'm just going to be completely upfront and frank with you guys. It doesn't fix the current issue because the current issue has nothing to do with Indeed. The current issue has nothing to do with your software. It has nothing to do with your actual job at the moment. The current issue is people are not looking for jobs. They're just not. I have shared from everyone in the group, if someone's concerned, someone's complaining, we're transparent in the way we communicate. We show like, you're number one in your market. Like, hey, you're number one, you're number one. Like, but it doesn't matter if they're not getting traction. Number being number one, they don't care. And I understand it. Like, I agree too. It doesn't. And so, and a platform, no matter what it is, if you're using me or another platform or an ATS, it's not going to fix the problem. So you could cancel me and move. It's not going to fix the problem because all of our stats, all of the data is showing. And I literally took screenshots from people on like not using Woot Recruit saying we are dying right now because no one is looking for a job. So it doesn't matter your platform. It matters what you do. How do you pivot? Right? Adaptability, flexibility, and speed.
And I was going to say the one thing that I can confidently, you know.
Summer said it's everywhere. I agree with Summer. It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere.
But what I can take to the bank is the amount of tenacity a determination that we have to pull out all the stops and to do things that aren't typical to make things happen. And so as long as somebody is willing to, and I see a lot of eyes in the chat, as long as you guys are like,
holy shit, there's a lot of people here.
Go ahead and run with it.
I just noticed. I'm sorry.
Then we will go ahead and execute the plan.
Everywhere. It has nothing to do with cleaning. It has nothing to do with frontline labor. It has everything to do with the state of the world between AI scaring the crap out of people and now gas prices. People are job hugging. They don't want to move because they're scared. And would you, here's my question to the world, to you, would you blame them? I would be honest. I would keep a crummy job too if it meant security. Mm-hmm. Right? If it meant stability. There we go. Jen Rogers, thank you. Easy times create soft men. And soft men create hard times. And hard times create strong men. I want to remake that to say, like, easy times create soft business owners. And soft business owners create hard times. And hard business owners create strong business owners. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys look like you're on fire. Oh, Darlene, we are so on fire that, like, We're gonna work through the night. Like, Chris is like, he made coffee. He's like, oh, where's his coffee? He didn't make it. He bought it. He's like, I'm not gonna go to sleep tonight. I'm working all night. So here's the thing. I want all of you guys to do, if you're my customer, you can get a hold of me anytime. You know, you can Facebook message me. Most of you have my cell phone number. If you're not a WooCrew customer and you're struggling, you can message me as well. But here's the thing for my customers. Chris is back in ops full time. I am as well. And I'm more of the messenger of give me the data. I ask the questions. Here's what I want. Here's the thing. I hate email. Facebook message me, text me, Facebook message Chris. I started to give your cell phones out, cell phone numbers out to Chris because we couldn't get a hold of your offices for a couple people today. And we're on fire. We want to move and we need to be able to figure out what can we do and what can we not do? And so message us, DM us. We love DMs because I can voice message you back. I don't have to type it.
Oh no.
I don't have to like email it.
I love DMs because I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's so direct that it excites me. And I'm like, hell yeah, there's a problem to fix.
And so everyone's like, the hustle's dead. I'm like, well, it's dead until you're dead. Sometimes you have to hustle or you're gonna die.
And I'm gonna go back to the statement that I always make here, and it's that in states of delirium comes your greatest work.
Exactly. And so if you own a business or you have children, I'm sorry, you have to pull all-nighters. The people who don't have children, and as much as I love the people who don't have children, they can work interrupted because they don't have fucking kids. But we have kids and we have employees and we have customers and so if we want to actually get things done, we have to work through the night or pull an all-nighter. Because if not, like, then you're kind of abusing your, not abusing, but you're just neglecting your kids and your spouse and your wife and your husband and your customers. And so if you want a quiet moment in life, you have to like pull an all-nighter.
And sometimes your business and your kids needs a different season of you.
Yeah.
In the way that you work.
Exactly. A different season of you. So that's what we found. And I agree. This is this state right now that we're in the data. And I'm looking at people who are not even my customers, data, information, people. And so I'm in recruiting groups online, like professional headhunters, recruiters. I'm in those Facebook groups, those LinkedIn groups. They are dying right now. And these are for white collar jobs. They're dying right now. And then we look at blue collar jobs and we're dying right now. It's not just in one industry specific. And so it's time to pivot. It's time to change. Again, we're ready to change. We just need your approval. If you're a customer of ours, we're ready to change. Stop throwing that money in Indeed and let's put it in some other places. And then we're building and we're doing some other things, but no matter where you go, here's the thing. You cancel me and go use another solution. It's not going to work because there is literally nobody looking. So the question is, how do you get their attention?
Yeah.
right? As Gary V says, attention is the new currency. Mm-hmm. So how do I get their attention? So we have plans and we have some strategies on how to get their attention versus waiting for them to look for us.
Yeah.
Yes, which I think is kind of exciting. So it's going to push us as business owners to kind of up-level ourselves. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm going to leave. We've been on for an hour. Oh, no, 46 minutes. But I want to leave you guys. I want to leave you guys again with a quote. And I think this quote is the most powerful quote ever. People will leave a job to go work for a better company. We see it all the time. Jonathan Potashnick taught me this. He was the owner of Service Autopilot. He owned CityTurf, $17 million, probably $20 million lawn care company at this point. We do his recruiting. And he taught me this. This is not his quote, but he taught me this. It's like, during hard times, you have to go out and hustle. If you find a great person at a restaurant, recruit them. If you go through Wendy's drive-thru and the person had great manners, recruit them. If you go to a gas station and you see people in the parking lot, recruit them. You can't just sit here and wait for Indeed to work. We can't. And one of the things people will leave a crummy job for is great culture. But I don't want you to be delusional about your current culture. We could think our culture is one thing, and I left my last call with this quote. We could think our culture is one thing, but in reality, your culture is just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Whatever the way your company is right now is your culture. If it's chaos, if it's inconsistency, if it's imbalanced, if it's constant reschedules, if it's constant negativity, that is your culture. Your culture in your business is just the way it is. And that's the way you made it. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's the way you made it. It is. And so culture is not what we want it to be or what we think it is. It's just the way it is. One of the best ways you can change your culture is by creating structure, creating those systems and those processes, because systems fix everything at the end of the day. And again, I am a systems girl over here. I'm a fangirl of systems. You know I am. Where's my book? We actually gave the book to the cop. So we're in town. The guy recognizes my orange fingernails. It's funny because Jamie Reeder asked me, she's like, is that a particular color of orange? I said, it is, Jamie. It is. And believe it or not, people remember me based off this dumb color of orange. But the guy at Scooters asked me about the book, and the guy, I love him, but he's there from 6 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. He owns a franchise, but he doesn't own a company because he owns a job, because he can't keep people. And I told him, again, systems fix everything. Systems fix everything. I'm teaching systems for 2 days, and I guarantee you're going to leave with your 200 micro plays and about 80% of your office documented. If you come and visit me in Oklahoma for measly, piddly $250, which is what we probably spend on Google AdWords a day, or for a nice dinner a day. And I'm going to teach you how to make them. Done. Now, is my place in Oklahoma easy to get to? No, it's not. But at the end of the day, a person will leave a crummy job for a great job who has structure and culture. But you create great jobs with structure and culture by having systems. That's pretty much it. So in a world where AI is scaring everybody and war is scaring everyone and fuel prices are scaring everyone, what's the one thing we can do? So what's the uptime? Chris, explain us to what uptime and downtime is.
Yeah, so uptime is everything within our domain. It's everything that we can control. It's the actual emotions, the actions that we can do to sway things in a particular way. Downtime are things that are outside of our domain and things that we do not control. These are things that we cannot impact, influence, or change. Whether somebody decides to act on something, we cannot control. But we can control the environment that we place ourselves in or place those people in to act in a certain way.
I agree 100%. And there's a quote I wanted to read you, and it's kind of a quote that I recite in my head. Gosh darn it. I'm trying to, give me 1 second. I'm trying to find it. It's a quote I recite in my head, and it's pretty much what Chris said. It's pretty much what Chris said. But in a more kind of down, like grounding way. And it's a little bit to do with God, but not religion, because I do believe in God, but I'm not super religious.
And so I could probably recall this by heart, because I actually sat when I was 8 years old, probably a little bit younger, in a room of about 50 different people in Alcoholics Anonymous as my dad was receiving his one-day chip over and over and over again, as they repeated this, closing out the meeting each day. But yeah.
And so back to systems, why systems are so important and why I am absolutely in love with them. And I'll read this to you. And it says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So for me, the systems, the structure, are the things that I can change. But I cannot change if people are willing to accept them, if people are willing to follow them. But I know the difference. And so those are the things we can change and the things that we can influence, creating structure and systems in our business. And I personally want to teach you how to do that. I didn't know that you guys recited that. So Chris doesn't share a lot about, well, at least to me. A lot about that past, because he has to be ready to share it. But I find that interesting that they quoted that.
Yeah. Every Thursday, I think 7:00 to 7:30 was the start of the meeting for Alcoholics Anonymous. My sister and I was probably 7 at the time, had gone with my dad. Again, every Thursday night, we became like the local resident children in the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, about 50 people.
And how old were you?
7 or 8. Yeah. And so we were there. Again, we just had the little candy machine. We had the Runts. We'd go ahead and buy some. We'd have some paper to draw. That's where I first learned how to drink coffee. 7 or 8 years old. Lots of sugar, lots of cream. But yeah, that it was the very first time that I heard it, but I heard it over and over and over again.
That's funny. I'm Latino, and so we're superstitious. If I would have drank coffee at that age, they would have said I would have been a midget. Because they say that if you drink coffee when you're a kid, like in your Latin, you don't, like, it stunts your growth.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I think that's great. But here's the thing. If recruiting, here's the honest truth. I'm going to be honest with you guys. How do we know when this is going to change? Okay, if the war ends, that's one of the layers. If gas prices change, that's another layer. If AI lets up, because everything is scary at first. Remember when internet came out, computers were invented. It's all scary at first. Remember when it was going to tick over to 2000 and we all thought the world was going to end in 1999 and December 31st? And so, but we don't know when the fear-based mentality of social media is going to let up. Or if it ever will. And I think it will, but we don't know that. But we can't control that.
Yeah.
We can't. So from a business owner's perspective, stop losing your mind.
That's the downtime.
It's the downtime. We can't control it. Like I said in the prayer, right? Give me the courage to know the difference. The wisdom, I'm sorry, to know the difference. We can't control that. But what we can control is improving our culture. And culture is not games. It's not prizes. And it's not gifts. It's not. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's structure and it's consistency in your job. It's knowing what done looks like and how to hold someone accountable. We're going to talk about the definition of done and accountability, because people crave that. People want to do a good job. They want consistency. Like, what's the number one reason why people, when you're interviewing, what's the number one reason why people say they're quitting their job or they left their job? There's two reasons typically, right? One, I can tell you right now, disorganization, right? And the other one is bad management. That's like across the board. What anyone who had left a job and is currently looking for new employment. Disorganization, structure, you need systems. Bad management, systems, you need structure, right? You need the definition of done, an accountability system. I'm giving you all that, right? Unclear expectations, right? The definition of done. What is actual done? How do I know I'm doing a good job? How do I know I'm actually doing my job, right? And that all comes with having structure, having systems. And so I have a system. Yes, it's a DOD. Exactly. Definition of done. And then we're going to add plus an accountability system. We all suck at accountability. We love everyone. We see the positive side in everyone. We're the life of the party. We're not the life of the accountability system.
No.
But when you have a system, it makes it easier. And so in a tough labor market, this is how you attract people. They want consistency. They want structure because they're going to leave their crummy, crappy, disorganized, bad managed job to find stability. So let me tell you right now, if you're a crummy, crappy, disorganized job, bad management, even though if you don't mean to be, and you just are, because you don't know what you don't know.
It's just the way it is right now.
It's just the way it is. I was there. I was a crummy job. I was a crappy job. I was, even though I was a professional organizer, I was disorganized in the office. I can be your best friend. Everything I do, all of my tools, Lay Us Free, my workshop in Oklahoma, my workshop in Pennsylvania, my 90-day challenge, everything I do is about helping you create structure and systems in your business. That's it. I don't care what business you have, and I don't care how you run it. I don't care if you run teams. I don't care if you run solos. I don't care if you're in pest control, lawn care, cleaning, window cleaning. I don't care.
The coffee shop?
Coffee shop, yeah. I'm helping the coffee shop. I don't care. I care about getting your shit together. That's about it. So this is a great topic. I would love to know your insights. Do you think, what are your thoughts around the AI, the war, the gas prices? I would love for you to like push against it. If you're like, Libby, you're full of crap.
Yeah. I got to thank Kyle. I got to thank Kyle though, because I think it was Kyle Walker who had mentioned and said, hey, I have a feeling that like spring break isn't just it.
Well, I thought that too though as well.
Yeah.
But
the fact that you're able to voice it and just at least.
No, Kyle voiced it. And so did my son.
Yeah.
My son's 27 and he works for me and a couple other cleaning companies. He does social media marketing. And he's like, Mom, I'm telling you, something's going on. And I'm like, man, that wouldn't affect my cleaning technicians. And he told me this like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
He's like, the last time you were here, we were at a family party. And I'm like, LinkedIn Recruiter's going down. And I'm like, well, we don't use LinkedIn Recruiter. He's like, yeah. That's not what I mean. He's like, things are changing in the market. People are scared of AI.
Yeah.
And then you add all the other things. So, great call. But, and if you comment in our other lives that you wanted to see our numbers, I've tagged Chris. Just give him a little bit of time, like a day or so. And then I'm going to have Eliani reach out to every one of you guys. If you commented and you're a customer, if you're not a customer and you want to learn what we're doing, you can schedule a demo, not a demo, like a call.
Yeah.
With Chris. But we're here. Chaos management. Yeah. So these are great. I love. Why do people leave? Unclear expectations. It's a peaceful place to work. Their bosses. That's not why they left. That's what they're looking for. Sorry. Chaos and management. Exactly. Bad management. Culture issues. So I want to ask everybody before I leave. Those are all, you know why people leave their jobs. Do you really, like, what is the state of your business right now? Because your culture is what it is. It's what your business is right now. Would you say that you would be a place where people would want to come, or are the ones that are leaving? It's a hard pill to swallow. In the past, we were the company that people left. We weren't great. I thought my culture was in my head. It was the things I put on the wall, and it was the things I aspired to be, but it was not actually the things we were. Because I was lying about I was lying to myself. I wasn't lying to anybody else. I was lying to myself about what my culture was. And if you can't be honest with yourself and what your culture actually really is, you're going to continue to lose people. You know, and we see companies losing 5-3 people at a time. And if you're using 3-5 people at one time, there's a gap in your culture somewhere. And that happened to us all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we're operating from a place where we want our culture to be these things, these fun things, these games, these like, here's a Valentine's gift. versus like just being real with myself and saying, what is our actual culture? And how, like, what does it actually look like right now? And we actually stopped all those. We don't do games. We don't do gifts. We found that those like attendance games were just like a band-aid over having the wrong people on our team.
Short-lived.
They're short-lived. They're like band-aids. Well, that's why when I, if you ever see me comment to like, hey, I need to do an attendance game because I have bad attendance. No, you have the wrong employees. Or you have bad culture. They just don't want to come to work. And so for a long time, we had aspirational culture. I was trying to be like this cheerleader that I thought I was supposed to be. Yeah, and that's not us. We're very structured. We're very like, I don't know, like serious in our company. Because I'm not serious, but I play around, but we don't play around with certain things.
Yeah.
Like we're very serious when it comes to our work and showing up on time. But then we play around like after we've met those things. And so I at one time was trying, my culture was fake because it wasn't actually us. It was what I thought we should be or what I wanted us to be. And I only wanted it because I saw it in other people or in other companies. And so that created this weird misalignment and people would come and go all the time.
They could feel it.
They would come and go all the time. But I was also like, I was catfishing them with the job.
Yeah. Or catfishing them when they got there.
Well,
and I said, this doesn't feel.
Do you guys know what like, catfishing is, right? Like on social media, I was catfishing them. So I was like overselling them on this job, like using a filter. And it's like, whew, come work for this great place. And they got there and they're like, this place isn't really that great. But I thought it was in my head until I had like a reality check. I had to have someone give me a reality check and say, Libby, why did you start this company? Because you seem completely misaligned with what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And he was like phenomenal. And I'm like, oh my God, like he put me in my place.
Yeah.
And so I want you guys to ask that during hard times, during labor markets like this, you cannot lie to yourself. You cannot promote a culture you want to have. You can't promote that type of culture in your job ad or in your interview because they're going to see right through it or they're not going to stay. And so you got to kind of get real. You got to level set right now.
Yeah.
Because people will, like I said, will leave for good jobs. They'll leave crappy jobs for good jobs. But during a down market, we cannot be catfishing them. No filters, no over embellishing, no lying about your culture, not lying, but over exaggerating it.
So right now, I'll be honest with you, is people are exhausted with the AI, the pitches.
Well, they're exhausted. No, they're scared.
Yeah.
So fear creates exhaustion, right?
Yeah.
And we're business owners. We know where AI stands. I do a live every Tuesday about AI. But our cleaning technicians, our field technicians, our frontline labor are different types of hires. Mm-hmm. And all of my cleaning technicians have access to it. They just don't know they have access to it. They're just thinking they're chatting with a chatbot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this was a great call, guys. Any questions, concerns, issues? Chris and I are here for you. We're in the trenches. We're in the home service industry. And at the end of the day, we understand how you feel because we own locations that are going through the current issue that you're going through. We feel your pain. We didn't once own a cleaning company. We own a cleaning company.
Yeah.
And we also own a recruiting company. It's not an easy time. But I'm okay with that. Because as the quote said, as Jen Rogers said, easy times create soft men. Soft men create hard times. And hard times create strong men. These are hard times. So the strong business owners will be the ones that survive.
Yeah.
Or at least make it through somewhat easily. So questions, concerns, issues, we want a completely 100% transparent company. Do not hold back. Do not hesitate to contact me, post, share, gripe me out. I'm okay with it. Share me your feedback. And don't hold back. That's how we grow. That's how we change. That's how we evolve. That's how we get better. So we run a 100% transparent company in all of our companies, whether it's Organize It, whether it's Woot Recruit, whether it's Leia, whether it's Sell Convert Clean. We're here to support you guys, and we're here to just be better and learn together.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built Woot Recruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.